Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome to a great episode. Again, we have here Suspense Radio. I'm your host, John Robb. Today, we are going to be joined by author Vincent Zandri, who's right now the author of the book Godchild, which is the sequel to The Innocent, which is racing up those Amazon charts and Kindle. So sit back, relax, have some industry news, things like that, because what we got is great show, 60 Minutes, Suspense Radio begins right now.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Again, great Saturday morning here or afternoon, wherever you are. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to us or whenever you decide to listen to the broadcast here. I will tell you that I always like to rub it in, and I'm going to do it again today because I was just talking with Vincent a little off air where it's a nice balmy 40 degrees and raining over on the East Coast of New York. It's going to be 74, beautiful, sunny, and so I get to go outside and have a little fun and enjoy the self instead of maybe staying inside. And maybe that's a bad thing because I'm not reading today and whatnot, but I'll tell you, it's so difficult. And I know that you're all very, very upset with me that I live out where I get 360 days of sunlight a year and warm weather. But it's okay. I will bear through it, and I will get going, so do not worry about that. We're going to change up the show a little bit here. We are going to bring our first guest on, and then we're going to do a little news later. So what I want to do is I want to introduce Vincent Zandri to you. He is the author of the book Godchild, which just came out here this year. It is the sequel to The Innocent, and it is part of his Jack Marconi series. You can find his stuff here on VincentZandri.com. That's Zandri.com. And he has all his books, of course, on Amazon. And you can find them all there. You click on the links, it takes you right to everything. So, Vincent, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John, despite the weather.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I like to rub that in because there's not a lot of people in, that live out here, and they all seem to be in the east and the north, and, you know, they're like, oh, it's so cold, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to the beach. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it must be great. It must be great for you.
It is, but you know what I did find out is most of the greatest authors come out of the Maine, the New York, the East Coast, the cold areas, because what do you got to do during the winter? You got to write, and you write great stories. You have a lot of great ideas and things like that because you guys are cooped up. You know of a lot of suspenseful kind of thriller things that are just scare the hell out of people, and we have Godchild here, your second book in the Jack Marconi series that just came out. So describe a little bit about Godchild and tell everybody a little bit about, you know, your character, Jack.
Yeah, Jack Marconi was originally conceived when I was actually working on a nonfiction book about with this man, David Harris, who was New York State's first black prison warden back in like 68 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the nonfiction didn't fly, but David had told me a story that back in like 69, 70, something like that, he was actually accused of aiding and abetting an escaped cop killer.
Oh.
And so, you know, for you know, anybody out there is like, oh, that could never happen. It happened, and he was, like, accused of this. It didn't go anywhere, but, you know, a little bit later on, I was like, oh, you know, this might make a really cool novel.
Huh.
So I came up with The Innocent, where which was based on, you know, someone on that, you know, and it, you know, this guy, Jack Marconi, gets accused of helping this cop killer escape, and then people start dying all around him, and he starts realizing that the people he thought were closest to him, his closest, you know, brothers and sisters in arms, you know, in the law enforcement industry, are actually conspiring against him. So he goes on the run, and he goes after this cop killer. And when the cop killer turns up dead, and Marconi's accused of killing him, then things, you know, really hit the fan. So in this novel also, Jack Marconi is, he's a bit of a brooder because his wife and his best friend has been killed. And uh-huh. she was killed by this head-on collision with a Lincoln, black Lincoln convertible or whatever. And he was never able to find her killer. So now fast forward to Godchild. You know, Jack's getting his life together and he's about to get married again. And
right.
he wants to make peace with his deceased wife. So on the morning of the day he's getting married, it's a snowy day, which is typical here.
of course.
It, you know, seems like it snows all the time. But anyway,
yep.
he
so
visits her gravesite. Yeah, right. It could be like August. But so he visits her gravesite and, you know, and he's shedding a tear. And sure enough, the same black Lincoln convertible shows up. And there's like this bald-headed guy inside. Jack sees it. And the convertible takes off. That's it. Wedding over for Jack before it even starts. His lawyer finds him drunk in a bar, and he ends up shooting up the bar. And that leads him actually on the road to to an assignment that takes him down to Mexico, and eventually I don't want to be a spoiler, but it eventually solves the problem of, let's put it this way, of who killed his wife. So,
right, things kind of weave itself back around to where, you know, you kind of bring it kind of back full circle again, sort of, I guess you want to say.
I do, and I want to, you know, that's why I stress a lot that Godchild is a true sequel to The Innocent.
Right.
In that it answers a lot of the questions that are still unanswered in The Innocent. Even though you can read both books as total standalones. But it's a true sequel, and I've never written another one since. Doesn't mean I won't write more Jack Marconi, but, like, those two books are really almost like one big book, and, in fact, my publisher, Stonegate Inc., is going to issue these, I think, towards Christmas as a special edition, combo edition.
Right, I was just going to say, you could almost put the two books together. Instead, you just kind of split it in a middle part and said, okay, I'm going to split it here, and then you're going to have to read the next one later. But, yeah, you can almost just put the two together. And the fascinating thing, and the one thing that's done, you know, that I think is kind of almost a lost art, and a lot of authors that they're not catching it, especially the newer authors coming out, they're just trying to throw out a story. Instead, what you've done is, yeah, you put the story in there, but you've taken Jack Marconi through such an emotional ride that the reader gets so emotionally involved that that's what draws them in. And I think a lot of authors lose that and thinking that it's all about the story and how much can you throw at a reader, when instead I think the emotional connection between your character is really what drives it, and the story around it is just what, like, the icing on the cake and brings it all together. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely do, and I remember at the time I was reading, when I was writing The Innocent, which was in the late 90s, I was reading a lot of, like, Jim Harrison, and I had intended for that book to be more of a literary flair to it, but always these characters that are just sort of beat up and, you know, and ground down and behind the eight ball, and they, you know, they gotta, you know, and they're, like, desperate to try to get out of these desperate situations. And at the time I was writing Godchild, I was reading a lot of Jim Crumley. And I was like, as Shagru and Milovich, all those characters that Crumley came up with, you know, that, you know, sometimes they're being buried alive, literally, but they come out of it, and, you know, they'll do anything to find the truth, you know, even if it means they're going to lose a finger or two. And I think the closest one nowadays doing that also is Charlie Houston, especially with the Hank Thompson series, which I think are brilliant. But I love that notion of the character who was developed into this, you know, this, you just know when you open up from, you know, from page one that it's going to be a train wreck for this guy, you know,
right.
And that, you know, and no matter what, but no matter what, he's going to go after the truth, and that's, and, you know, he's got this moral fortitude, you know what I mean? So.
Exactly. Now, did you let the person that you based the story off of, did they read the book? Did they have a, did you send it to them and did they read it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, Dave Harris has passed away since. But, yeah, and I remember he read it and he was like, well, you know, and he just smiled. He's like, because he's like, well, you know, that wouldn't happen in the penal system, but, you know, but, oh, all right.
Sure.
You know, and that was about it.
So, I mean, so you kind of got a little bit of approval. That was kind of, and that was kind of good. I mean, that's kind of interesting that, you know, the person that you kind of really based off, because a lot of people say, oh, I loosely based it off this person, but you're like, nope, it was off this guy right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, because I think every single one of my books just about is based on some sort of real event or a series of
right.
events, you know, and then, I have a book coming out in about a month. I just got the galleys back called Concrete Pearl, which will also
right,
be a new series, and
yep.
you know, an odd series. I don't know if anyone's really done this, but it's about a female construction business owner, who's, you know, she inherits this construction business from her dad, and it's failing. Anyway, she's doing one project that she hopes will get her out of this financial mess, and it turns out this, you know, she hired an asbestos contractor on the cheap, but he's been cheating and having exposed like 300 kids and teachers to asbestos fibers all year. He goes on the run, turns up dead, of course, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I like to take these events, you know, that are like real and then, you know, kind of mix them up a little bit, throw a murder or two in there and see what happens.
Now, with all the e-books and the internet sensation and the stories that just came out that now e-books are the number one selling format over all books. They've just, I mean,
right.
they literally passed hardcovers, paperbacks, mass market, just like bam, 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 so fast that people blink and they missed it. How are you able to separate yourself with all the stuff now that's coming out, like in the Amazon Kindle, to get your books to be pushed up, you know, because you're a number one Amazon best-selling author. I mean, over top of all the big ones and all the marketing money and everything that all these publishers are putting behind to be seen, you happen to get over top of that. Did you do something special? Were you absolutely shocked when it happened? You know, kind of go into that.
It's funny because, you know, a year ago even, a year ago my agent's like, you know, I'm striking this deal up with Stonehouse and Stonehouse Inc. and, you know, and they're primarily ebook heavy, you know, they'll bring the ebook out before the trade paperback. And I, you know, I didn't have an e-reader. I didn't know much about ebooks. I didn't know about any
right.
of this stuff. And, you know, and I was like, you know, oh, God, all right, well, whatever. Because I was just still selling modestly. You know, Moonlight Falls had just come out from a small publisher out in Arizona, and I wasn't really publishing with Random House anymore and all this stuff. So anyway, when the publisher spoke to me about what he was going to do, Aaron Patterson, who also was a bestseller, he just said, we're really going to push the e-books, and, you know, one of the reasons we're taking you on is because you're so active in social media. Facebook,
uh-huh.
Twitter's, the crime space, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, and it, we felt as though that if we could build up a specific, you know, a tribe of people who enjoy, you know, hard-boiled fiction and noir fiction as much as we do, then, you know, that would form a basis of fans. And it has. And you know, what happens is, you know, the word of mouth is, you know, it expands exponentially and globally, you know, whereas 10 years ago when Godchild first came out under Bantam-Dell, you know, you start locally in Albany and you hope that the word spreads from there. Well, it could take years or it could take never.
Right.
But luckily with social media, I was able to really, you know, without being obnoxious about it, I was really able to push the book. Especially on weekends when people are buying books, you know, and you just sort of get your name out. And you know, so there was that. And then there was the blog. I started my blog, which has become relatively popular, the Vincent Zantry Box.
Yep.
You know, and just writing about all topics on writing and publishing and, you know, my take on ebooks and things like this. And then the other thing is, you know, I'm still traditionally published with Stonehouse and Stonegate Inc. And this company, man, they're like a family. You know, I swear to God, you know, like if your numbers start slipping a little bit, boom, you know, like they're tweeting you to their peeps and they're you know, they're pushing your book, and it's you know, it's a really an unbelievable experience. So, you know, I enjoy that, and I enjoy that backup that a traditional publisher gives me. So, and then the last thing I think is that, you know, I've been published by Ziggy's, and I've been lucky enough to have some really great reviews, you know, from New York Post and Boston Herald and stuff like that, and, you know, they can slap those reviews on the product description, and that helps sell books as well.
So it's kind of a combination of everything, but I think that you hit on the one thing where your publisher is like a family, where you're not kind of getting lost in the shuffle,
right.
Where we hear from a lot of publicists, whether it's the Penguins or the HarperCollins, Random House, whatever, they get so bogged down with so many authors, they can't spend that much time on them. And you know
right.
as well as I do when you go to all these conventions and you sit around and you see four authors talking to each other. First of all, they're not talking about good stuff. They're talking about how their publisher's screwing them, what their agent's
yeah.
not doing,
right.
the whole nine yards. And that
yeah.
seems to be the brunt of all these conversations. I mean, you hear the
yep.
same thing, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, been there, done that, you know? I remember, you know, it wasn't that long ago where, I mean, my new agent, Chip McGregor, who was awesome, it wasn't that long ago where, you know, it wasn't like, you know, 2 days wouldn't go by where I'd, like, email my agent and, like, anything happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, you know, I'm in a lucky enough position where the agent is actually emailing me, like, you know, I'm still here and I'm working on this and this might be happening. I'm like, you don't need to check in. I, you know, great. You do your thing and I'll do mine.
Right.
You know. So that's a sign of the times. Good times, anyway.
And... you know, when you're looking forward, and I was going to bring up the Concrete Pearl, and you brought it up, so it's something new that you're doing, which is you're starting a whole new series with a construction business owner. Now, what made you decide to kind of put Jack on the back burner a little bit and kind of do this new series? And I want to remind everybody that we're speaking here with Vincent Zandri. You can find everything out at VincentZandri.com, Zandri, and check out his website, his blog, the whole thing. So... why did you decide to go ahead and put Jack a little bit back and come out with Ava Harrison here, your new new character?
Actually, it started back around the year 2000, 2001. My editor at the time at Delacorte was like, well, you know, As Catch Ken sold modestly, so you're going to have to give up the Jack Marconi character for a while.
Mm.
I just took him literally and was like, okay. And so I actually started another series with Richard Dick Moonlight of Moonlight Falls. And that eventually became the Moonlight Falls that was published last year, and Stonegate's going to publish the second in the series, Moonlight Rises, after Concrete Pearl in the fall. So I have two
okay.
series going, actually. And then, you know, I came up with Ava Harrison because I really wanted to have a really cool, you know, brassy but sexy female character, female lead that I think would be, you know, number one, like really attractive to male readers as well as female readers, and also be really cinematic. So I came up with her, and I know a lot about the construction industry, having been born in it. So I just put the two together.
That always helps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that always helps. They always say, you know, write about what you know because it
yeah.
comes out so much more genuine.
And right.
Now, and so when you look at your bio and you go to your website, VincentZandri.com, and you look because, you know, you were not a novelist first. You kind of did
yeah.
some other things first. So how are you able to translate your other writing into becoming a novelist that you are right now? Was it a difficult transition? Was it tough? What kind of struggles did you go through?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I started out, you know, I don't know. I always say that, like, you know, every writer wants to start out, like, you know, like they have their eye on writing the great American novel, you know,
right.
you know, and many of them end up being like advertising writers or PR writers or whatever. They just couldn't get it. They couldn't do it. But I was determined, you know, from the get-go, you know, even though I was writing journalism and, you know, everything from fly fishing stories to travel articles or whatever. I was like, I'm going to be a novelist. I'm going to write novels or whatever. And I just started writing short stories, and then from, you know, from the short stories, I got a bunch of those published, and then I went to writing school, Vermont College, and I think I actually wrote a novella called Permanence, which sort of appears in Godchild, just before writing school. But then when I was in writing school, that's when everything changed, and I started working on a creative thesis, which would eventually become, a few years later, The Innocent. So it was really, you know, to answer your question simply, a lot of hard work. Just the determination and hard work. I was like, I'm going to do this.
A lot of it is perseverance. I mean, you got to persevere through because there's so many authors that give up at certain times because they just don't think it's going to happen or whatnot, where you just keep going and going and going, and eventually, you know, it's like that one thing clicks, and then, you know, that's what happens, you know, then it finally makes it. And what I was going to ask you, too, is, you know, what do you see, because we're doing a big, you know, kind of piece on it to try to figure out, like, what do you see as the biggest challenge with the way that everything's been changing and publishing so fast and the way things have been going? What do you think the biggest challenge is for writers coming up here in the future that they're going to have to face? And you also.
I think number one is readers now, because of e-books, reading has become sexy. You know, people love the rereaders, and they want content. They want, you know, instead of, and you know, like I said, it was up until a year ago, I hadn't heard much about e-books, and I was content with writing one or two books every 1 or 2 or 3 years, you know, and that was the standard format, you know, for most writers. But now it's like, you know, like my publisher, if you could put out 3 novels a year, that would be fantastic.
Right.
If you could put out 2 novels a year, good. You know, one novel, not so good. Because the readers want them. And so, you know, inevitably the toughest thing is going to be maintaining the quality of the writing. Because if you don't, you're going to lose your audience. And, you know, I don't care if, you know, like we price some of our novels, you know, like at $1 for about a month or whatever, and then it'll rotate to a normal price or whatever. Even if they're spending $1 for that novel, you know, they still want the quality, and it's going to be a little bit of a balancing act, you know, maintaining quality but still putting out more books than I'm used to. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for every writer.
And yeah, and I agree, and I think, you know, the other challenge is going to be, you know, continuing the marketing, and they're doing things, having to step outside their box that they're not really used to doing. Now, do you go to any conventions and book signings and things like that out there? Because, you know, I'm kind of looking, and it doesn't really see that, you know, you do a lot of book tours. Is that something that you're just not into either?
Well, you know, I've never been a big fan of the book tour. I will be appearing at this year's ICW in Manhattan. The International Thriller Writers. I'll be there. I'll be there in July. And I like that organization. In fact, I usually don't even get involved in organizations. But this one is great. International Thriller Writers is awesome. And so that one I'm really, really, really looking forward to. And in fact, my publisher.
We were there last year. We love it. We were there last year. It was great.
You going to be there this year?
We're going to try to become there this year. Yeah, I just don't know because it was so damn hot that I'm still getting over the heat stroke that I had last year and the humidity in July 4th.
I know, that's like the hottest week of the year in New York City.
It was so bad, it wasn't even funny.
Oh, I know. So that's going to happen. But in general, book signings, I've never been that crazy about because, you know, you do them in your hometown, and after the first one, after your parents come and you know, and your wife and your kids or whatever, and your friends and a few fans you have around here, you know, that first one is always great. But then you do another one, and like, you know, a crowd dwindles, and you know, and so, and it's not that I don't like to do that. I would much rather, and I do much more of these. What I'm talking about is I do much more like library signings, or I'll talk to crowds, or I'll do talks at schools or colleges and offer advice and things like that. I'm much happier doing things like that than standing in a bookstore, you know, signing no books to the nobodies who don't line up.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's going in the future, especially now that the e-books are so popular. that a lot of these authors, they're not going to spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to go on a book tour that they have to fund themselves to see 20 people.
Oh, it's over. And you know what? You know, John, in the minute, or I mean, in the hour it takes me to drink a large coffee, like on a Saturday morning when people are up buying books, you know, I can sell, we're moving like something like 3,000 e-books a day. You know.
Wow.
You know, now for me to go to like a bookstore and move five, it just doesn't make sense. And you know, and but then again, even my paper, like The Remains, is going into a second printing. You know, and so the paper is moving, but we don't even really look at the paper numbers anymore. That's like icing on the cake. You know, it's the global market that you have to attract, and that's what we're trying to attract. If you go on my website, you know, we're getting hits from Turkey, from Argentina, Czech Republic, all over the place, you know. And anybody who wants to talk to me, anybody, you know, my email's right out there. Anybody who contacts me, I try to answer every single email. And, you know, when I ask, you know, I try to blurb as much as I can. So it's not like I'm not having a personal communication with people because that you might, you know, otherwise get like at a book signing. I definitely am. I'm definitely out there with people.
Well,
it's just over a social media network.
Yeah, and the one thing, too, you have on your site under that is you have a website called pumpupyourbook.com. We just interviewed the founder of that for the May issue of the magazine to go along with the article that I wrote with David Morrell and Tess Gerritsen to kind of bring in the marketing and the publishing and everything together about, you know, what's going on. And, you know, a lot of authors out there have to dispel this myth, first of all, which you can do the same thing, is once you get signed to someplace, the starting gate has just begun. You better know how to start marketing yourself extremely fast, because if you don't, you ain't going to last.
No, there's just too much competition now. And with the, you know, with the influx of self-pubbed authors, it's just it gets even harder. And so, you know, that goes back to what I was saying about maintaining that quality. And, and one of the biggest things I failed to mention before on pushing your books is the virtual tour. You know, I could reach out to, you know, unbelievable amounts of people with the virtual tours, you know, the mommy blogs and the, you know, and the trailers and the chats, the live chats and the interviews and the reviews. I mean, just, you know, I think a tour of Pump Up, like their gold tour is like $800, which doesn't even cost, you know, doesn't even cover
that's
the hotel room in New York
to Arizona.
For 2 nights. Yeah, I mean, so you just can't beat it. But the thing is, though, you got to work it. And it takes, you know, I probably spend 2 or 3 hours every day marketing, and that's sometimes 7 days a week. So, you know, you got to work it. You got to be there. It's not great for your personal relationships, but you know what? If you want to do it, if you want to be, you know, on top, you got to do it. It's just, there's just no one's going to do it for you.
Exactly. And, you know, everybody should see the writing on the wall with borders closing. If you don't think Barnes & Noble isn't far behind, then you're just fooling yourself.
Absolutely.
So, you know, everybody, I got to tell everybody, you know, cell phones weren't big 20 years ago. Now people can't live without them. When iPods first came out, they weren't big. Now who buys a CD? Same
Nobody.
Thing. You know, and it's going to be the same thing. So, well, I'll tell you what, Vincent.
Yeah.
It has been great having you on. Really appreciate it. We'd love to have you back on again. Vincent Zandri, author of Godchild. You know, make sure you be that 3,001 person today and go out and buy the book on ebook on Amazon. But, Vincent, thank you so much for joining us.
John, thanks so much for having me, man. I look forward to coming back, and hopefully I'll see you in hot, steaming Manhattan in July.
Yeah. Exactly. I wish it. I'll tell you what. I would rather be 40 and rainy than 95 and 100% humidity if I go there. Not gonna lie.
That's true. I got you there.
Not gonna
All
lie.
Right, brother.
Well, and speaking of that, have fun. Have fun today.
I will. I will. I'm gonna work. So there you go.
There you go. All right. Have a good day, Vincent. Thanks a lot.
All right. Right on, John. Take care.
All right. Bye. So, again, everybody, that's Vincent Zandri. His website is vincentzandri.com, Z-A-N-D-R-I. His book is Godchild. It is the sequel to his book, The Innocent, that he wrote with his character, Jack Marconi. And like you heard, like he said on the radio, it was based after a real-life prison warden and a real-life story that had come out. So that's something that you definitely want to check out. You know, he's all over Amazon, like he said, selling 3,000 e-books a day. So you know, be that 3001 today. Go get it. If you don't have a Kindle, I don't know why. Go get a an e-reader. Go get whatever. But get involved with what's happening here right now and going on. There are some things going on. Also, I know next weekend that the LA Times Book Festival is going on. You get about 140,000 people, all different kinds of books and anything else you want out here at the LA Times Book Festival. It's moved to USC this year. And it is a great place if you're in the area or going to be around the area to check out. It's free. You go there. The weather is going to be great. It might be a little on the warm side, but, you know, better than being rainy and cold and freezing because it is outside. But it is free, and you can find almost anything you want out there because it goes from children to self-help to, you know, last year I think they had, Alicia Silverstone was out there talking about her vegan book. So anything at all you want. It doesn't have to be mystery suspense. Just read and read something. Because that's what's important to keep things alive. You know, get your kids interested in reading. Whatever they want to read, whatever they're interested in, get them to read. You know, go to our website, suspensemagazine.com, find out different things on what's going on and everything that's happening. We try to keep up with, you know, it's changing so much. You know, we try to keep up with everything that's going on. So we're going to have... Kim Harrison is going to be back on the show coming up here soon. We just announced, too, Lisa Jackson is going to be on the show, and she's going to be coming up soon. So we got some great guests coming in the future. You go to the website, you click on Suspense Radio. We got it listed out there. You can listen to the podcast and everything on iTunes and Netflix, where it used to be Zune, but all over the place. You can go ahead and listen to this. We're almost 17,000 listeners, so I want to thank everybody for that. It's really great to have you all. I mean, it's just a very, very exciting time. Not sure really what things are going to hold. We do know that libraries now, they're getting involved with the Amazon Kindle, and 11,000 libraries around the country, this was just announced, 11,000 libraries around the country are going to be mapped out with the Kindle to lend books over your reader. So it just... it was announced here on the Wall Street Journal. We actually emailed the writer of that story and, you know, got back. But we also put it on Facebook and we tweeted. If you want to find that out, you can go to Facebook and join us, and we put a lot of things out there. But you will soon be able to start borrowing books from public libraries. And it's working with a vendor called Overdrive, which manages e-book lending for a lot of the libraries out there. And there's more than 11,000 libraries that Overdrive does, and we're not sure, you know, I'm not sure exactly which books are going to be there and which ones are going to be out, but now to have the ability, especially great authors that can't get their books in the libraries because, you know, they're very limited space, and, you know, they have very limited space for certain things, and they put a lot of the big-name guys in there, but this is a great chance for the little people and the guys who can't get involved in libraries to get their books in there to be able to now get their books read, you know, by people and get new fans that you never had before and create more of a database. So there's a lot of exciting things going on. The other thing that's happening is, I don't know if you guys are looking to see, but the movie scene is starting to, you know, ramp up here. There's a new movie I'm excited about seeing. It's called Priest. It's in 3D. It comes out here in the next couple weeks. The other one, like I said, is if you're a superhero fan, you want to check out Thor. Scream 4 came out. So there's a couple movies that are, you know, hitting the screen. I don't think it's a very great time for movies to come out, but in the summer, except for maybe Harry Potter, I think, just to finish that one out. But there are a ton of great books. I've never seen so many books coming out right now at one time that are just absolutely fascinating. And you guys have to go out and check those out. Whatever you got to do, get your hands on some of these things. Get your hands on some of these because if you just look at the bestseller list coming out, first of all, and it's all e-book but going on, but our good friend Scott Nicholson now on Mystery Thrillers on Amazon has now hit number 10, which is great to see. We're also going to try to get author John Locke, who is just right now an Amazon e phenomenon with a couple of his books hitting in the top 20. But just look at the names you got here with David Balducci and Michael Connelly, Mary Higgins Clark and Lisa Gardner, Jonathan Kellerman, you know, Iris Johansson, Charlene Harris, Lisa Scottoline, James Patterson, of course, because you're at 10 a year. They're all big, brand new books out here. You can have your pick of the litter to choose from. I'm not sure how you're going to do it. It's really an exciting time. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you guys so much again for joining us today. I want to thank Vincent Zandri for joining us today, author again of Godchild. You can find him out at Vincent Zandri, Zandri.com. He is on Facebook. He is on Twitter. He did a lot of social media, did a lot of things out there. And go check out his book, Godchild, on Amazon. And enjoy the weekend and have fun. I mean, Easter's tomorrow. I'm still debating on whether or not I should hide Easter eggs or if I should tell my kids I hid Easter eggs and just see how long it takes me, because, like I said on Facebook, that's too long ago. So parents need to laugh, too. So happy Easter, everybody. Enjoy yourself. Stay safe wherever you are. We will see you all next weekend.